connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
Good morning.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
Hey, good morning, Tom. How are you? Dave. Making my way in. Trying a different route here. Going a bit slow or something, but a little bit behind.
Are you still on your HD or did you put your mobile in your van yet?
Oh, I've had my mobile in for a couple weeks now. Oh, by the way, too, check your email, please. I was sending you a request for a code plug.
Yeah, when I pull up my other laptop, I'll get it over to you.
All right, that would be appreciated. I got some programmed in, I think correctly, but I have a Zepiat heard any conversation, so. Sitting there tuning around, I think there was the other new ham who posted that question also on, he was the GMNet, so. Nope, I'm not the only one.
Yeah, did you get your DMR ID yet?
Yes. Boy, it's foggy out here. What's it like by where you're at?
Oh, it's bad up here by where me and Brad live. I mean, we got farmland up here, so, yeah, it's just fog. You know, maybe about a quarter mile visibility.
My 14-inch clinker has up to 75 over here, and it's pretty foggy. I can't really see that far ahead of me. I can probably see, about 10 car lengths in front of me, that's about it.
Yeah, it's fog ice. There's ice on all the trees and everything and all the grass. So, not dew, it's ice. It's crunchy. I know, because I walked across my yard and it was all crunchy. Hey, dumb question. Do you have a timeout timer set in your radio?
No. Thanks for the reminder. I do have one. I don't have it set. How's that? But I do need to do that. So that's a good reminder.
Yeah, you want to go in there and set your timeout timer to 180 seconds, which is 3 minutes. That way, if you lose track of time, your radio will kick off and give the repeater time to more or less rest and also let any emergency traffic in there.
I have been known to blabber on for quite a bit at times, so I'm certainly one is guilty of that, and that's why I have time. trying to the repeaters out a couple times already so far, but nope. And I know what I gotta do, it's simple to do, but got to do that when I get in here. Boy, getting down to 75, boy, it's even fog here. Well, spring's coming, but we're not out of the woods yet.
Oh yeah, it's getting there. But, yeah, when you get a chance, all my radios have a TOT of 180 seconds. That way, if I do ramble on, which I tend to do myself, it'll kick me out. I'll get a buzz on my radio letting me know that I was chatting too long. And then I wait for the repeater to drop, make sure nobody else wants to get in there, during the conversation. Things like that. KJKJO.
W8RIT. Yeah, the other thing I gotta remember too is not to quick key. That way you'd be considerate to others, let them join the conversation. So, you gotta keep that in mind too as well. Hey, Tom, let me ask you this. For the KPS software, when you're programming DM32, when you're doing a talk group, is there a way that you would put the slot in for that talk group? Because that's something I haven't figured out how to do as of yet, because I think that's something you have to do, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct? You have to assign a talk group with a slot number, one or two?
Yes, you got to do, so for MI5 statewide 1, which is talk group 51, that will be time slot 1, color code 1. And you got to put that in there. And then when you go to the frequency, the 443.950, and then you assign the talk group 51, and that way you key up to it. You'll see it when I send the code plug to you. You just got to give me a little bit of time here. I've been busier than a, bee on honey day.
Okay, yeah, I'll be patient. I did not see that. I saw where you could put the slot number for a channel, but I didn't see where you could assign it for the talk group, I guess. So, I think somebody made mention, I think, now if you have to put down, 51 for the talk group ID, slash 1 for, if it's used to slot 1. Is that how you were supposed to do it for the title of the talk group? Because I don't see anywhere, well, I didn't refresh myself, but I didn't do anything last night. But I don't recall seeing anything in the talk group section for assigning the slot number to that particular talk group.
Yeah, I'd have to take a look at the software again. Also, if you go to the McComb ARPSC website, which is McCombARPSC.org. There should be a link for the DM32 code plug from a couple of the guys that built it all up. And you can download it, plug it right into your radio, and just change the radio ID on it. And that should help you out.
Maybe that's where they were referring to, because I heard a conversation where somebody had made mention of that. That there are some code plugs on the ARPSC site, but I thought they had just mentioned that it was for the Michigan, so I was looking around on Michigan, and the only one I saw in Michigan for code plugs was for Northern Michigan, so that wasn't helping me. Okay, thank you. I'll take a look at that, and that helps limit it a bit there, too, as well.
Yeah, because the code plug I use is CLIP. KFA-GPP, but I think he just changed his call sign. And then Brian, NADZR, his is on there also. So they're two very good co-plugs. They're well-versed in the DM32. You can take a look at those and give those a shot. I got Cliff. I want to pull Brian's on. I want to put Brian's on the radio and see how it does.
Yeah, I'm learning this bit by bit. And just discovered yesterday that you can only have 16 channels per zone. I programmed in more than 60. Yeah, I did some commercial business band just for reception only. They made more than 16, so since they're going through the channels, I'm like, why is it stopping at 16 and going back to 1? And so I sit there and do a little Googling, and I found out, oh, only 16 channels per zone. So I got to figure out how to do some zones. Let me ask you, how do you put up your zones? Do you maybe do them by county? Do you do like one for maybe the FBI?
I have zones set up for like MI5, MI1, and the precursor is CMEN, Central Michigan Emergency Network, MI5. CMEN, MI6, MI1. And then for the analog zone, it says FBI/Central Michigan Network, CMN. And then that's how I set up my channel. You know, so if I have one for, one is FBI, but for like Detroit, KTLTS, that's part of the Central Michigan Network, so that one is CMN Detroit. That way I keep it all in tune, all in line. Makes it easier, too, that everything is alphabetical order.
Get used to the grouping a little bit there, but yeah, I think that will be pretty helpful for that, yeah. Everything will be a lot easier to find, especially if you've got 4,000 channels. I think it's 4,000, I think it's 4,000 channels. Don't think I'll come anywhere near that amount, but see what else I was going to ask you. But it has to do with talk groups, I think. Oh, I had programmed in from the DMRIT website. They gave some listings for some talk group IDs for the KAHWYN. I programmed in many of them, not all of them, like for Ohio and such. And now, when I'm using my SPR with CFB Plus to decode it, there's another talk group ID that comes up frequently that is not listed on that website. I have the one programmed in, don't know what it is, but let me ask you this, Tom.
Repeater, you can go to any talk group that you type in there, 91 for worldwide, 93 for USA, you know, USA Bridge, or 3100 USA Bridge. So what you type in is what it connects to. And of course, everybody that uses it bounces it all over, so which is no big deal. And that's all up to WIN. But the Central Michigan MI5 network, you can get into it from Brandmeister with Talk Group 31261 through Brandmeister, but you cannot go on the MI5 DMR and change it from 51 to any other talk group. It is not permitted. It is regulated because it is for the Central Michigan Emergency Network, and they don't want worldwide one on there when you're trying to talk to somebody in Cadillac or something on DMR. KCKGO for ID, as always.
Okay, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Kind of keep everything neat, orderly, and contained for what its intended purpose is, I guess, maybe. Okay, so I'm probably going to take a look when I get home. I'm not too far from the office. I'm here at 59, just cross on over. Go in and do some more fire alarm panel training. So far, it's been pretty good. I've actually kind of enjoyed it almost. It hasn't been too tough, but anyways, let's get tied to Ripper.com. Thank you very much. Appreciate your help. And you have a great day there, sir. We'll talk with you later. W-8-R-I-T.
Sounds good. I'm going to catch up with you at the office one day or something. We'll see. I'm all over the place right now. 73 for now. Enjoy your training. KCAKJO.
Hey, Tom, without being too specific, where do you
Field and then Grand Blanc. Tomorrow is Flint and then Petoskey. KCKGO.
Connected to CMN Network.
KCKGO.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
KFA, that's mobile.
Connected to CMN Network.
KE8BSI.
That it did. You can interrupt it at any time, and I'll just say it again later.
Yep, roger that. Just wanted to see if anybody else was going to chime in.
Has me around 11:21 arrival time, so I estimated pretty good, I guess.
All right, very good. Seems like a good time. It's pretty quiet here.
Yeah, I was about to eat food too, so it's a good thing you texted me when you did. I was about to make me a meal.
Yeah, I figured I'd throw it out there, and it worked out, so that's cool.
Oh, we're famous, by the way. Somebody on the Facebook group for Meshtastic had a picture of the Detroit area. All of our nodes were on there. You know, the VSI-1 and, you know, Dakota's nodes, and mine was kind of squished in a bunch of other ones, and, you know, I had all the, you know, Sean's nodes and stuff like that.
Oh, very good. Yeah, that new revival we got going sure densified the area for sure. Because I look at my map now and it's crazy.
Yeah, I still want to put up a mesh core node. You know, in addition, I'm gonna leave the Meshtastic ones, but I wanna see. It seems like there's not enough people doing mesh core, so. But I just haven't been motivated to do it. I got the equipment, I got the pieces and all that stuff. But I wanted to build another pie with it because I got, you know, extras of those pie hats. And so we'll see.
All right. Yeah, it'd be tough to get everybody to swing over just because of the density of what's already there. When you get here, we're eating. You can explain to me the real differences between the two. But, yeah, that'd be cool, because I'm sure it's better.
Yeah, I don't know about better, but I was just thinking it as a secondary thing. I wasn't going to dismantle all my Meshtastic stuff, because it still seems like a lot of people are interested in that. I was just going to do it as an additional thing. So, yeah, I'll explain more when I get there. I'm at the light. So I'm going to clear for now, and I will see you in there. KF8S.
All right, very good. Talk to you in a second. KE8VSI.
WAFU.
Good morning from WARCY over on the East Coast.
Good morning. Last session let out about 15 minutes early, so I got 15 minutes of time to myself, and then conference supplied lunch, and then right into the afternoon sessions. How's things going that side of town?
Well, today's hump day over here, but if you had to go to work over here this morning, you would have never made it to work because the fog has been the thickest I've seen in a long time. And, I mean, it was really, really bad up on the 8th floor, and then I went down to the lobby because I had to meet with management at like 7:30 in the morning. The offices are closed today, but I had to get some information to them. And even down on the lobby, I couldn't even see out to the main road that you would turn into off of Gequinder. Couldn't even see that far out. It was really, really thick, and I think you would have had a hard time getting in this morning.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that must have been, I looked in on my cameras this morning when I got up, and I could not see my side or back camera at all, and I was wondering what that was all about. Thought they got wet or something, but I looked at them just now, and they were clean as a whistle, so must have been that fog you were describing.
Well, I wasn't monitoring traffic this morning because I was down in the lobby, but like I said, even from up here, I was up at 5, and it was already getting thick, and by 6:30, 7 o'clock, I was down in the lobby, and it was just, I mean, really, really, really thick, and I wasn't monitoring the radio, I wasn't monitoring the news or anything, I was just waiting for management to come in the lobby, so all I had was with me was my phone, and it would have been a rough morning for sure. You would have never found Starbucks, you would have never found your office or anything, and I know where your office is located, they've had fog issues out because of the terrain out there for years, back when my grandmother, like I said, back when I was a kid, was at Martha T. Berry there, so I know the area well. Other than that, the conference is going well, and how's the weather on your side? Oh, the sun just came out. Hello, sun.
Well, let me look outside, see if I can. Looks glorious. Is that blue skies? Can't quite tell. But looks quite nice. I'm going to open up the shade here. Lots of sunlight. And what do we got here? Yeah, pretty much blue skies. Looks beautiful. So we'll see. It's supposed to warm up nicely here.
Well, we're not quite blue skies, and the sun, like I said, just now broke through, and we're supposed to, I think, get into the 40s today. We're currently 37. Yeah, we're currently 37 here, so on this side of the state. But when you come home, I think you said you're coming home on Thursday, you might deal with a little bit of rain coming back with your travels. Other than that, though, you should have pretty much smooth sailing.
Yeah, I haven't looked in on it yet. I just been, it's always the same here. You get up and you're going pretty much nonstop. And then, you know, every time, even if I want to skip a session, I'll get caught out in the hallway with, you know, because I work with everybody here. I've been working with them for decades. And, you know, so you'll see this guy or that guy and you get pulled off into a 15-minute conversation. And there's almost like zero downtime. And even at night when you're going to dinner or sitting in the lounge or something like that, you're usually talking with colleagues and all this stuff. It's very productive. It's always been a productive conference for me. I've been going for at least 10 now, and I think 10. I have to think back. But So that's okay being busy when you get stuff accomplished one way or the other. All right, I'm going to jump out of here. I've got to get a few things packed up in my motel room here and then head down for lunch in the afternoon sessions. We'll be checking in periodically. After yours, there'll be 8 of you.
Okay, sir, you enjoy your afternoon session, and I hope it is quite informative and very valuable. Yeah, when you go to these things, it's not just, you know, all business, but it's also, you, like you say, you get to see your colleagues and people you've worked with for years, so it's almost like going to a reunion, college reunion, high school reunion kind of thing, because you see old friends and, you know, share the personal side of the business. And that's also what makes it worthwhile. It's just not stuff that you talk to on the phone throughout the year. Okay, all the best. Enjoy. Again, hope everything goes well. W8RCY. Have a good one.
73 WFQ.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Hello, Echo 8, Foxtrot Lima Yankee, Missouri.
Connected to CMN Network.
Hello, Echo 8, Foxtrot Lima Yankee, Mother.
You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Oh, I've been out of the basement. I was up here, Orton,
drop stuff, head right and stuff. Now I'm heading to Davisburg and then Fenton.
I'm headed towards the Grand Lane Depot.
Just did the roundabout. Round and round. Yeah. So, yeah. No, I got a room. So, now today was first, but I was like, when I got done in Ortonville, I was like, I need to type something up. And I'm like, it's easier to do it at my keyboard. So, I went back to my house and typed that up. Plus, I had some groceries that I picked up at the meat market that I wanted to put in the fridge. So, yeah.
Yep, I gotta head to the apartments and meet the kiddos from the bus stop, so I'll see how much fun of homework we have. The oldest has not been doing hers.
Well, homework's overrated, they say. I'm always like, you know what? I spend 8 hours at school. Want me to do 5 hours of homework? Then I was homeschooled, so then technically everything was homework after that.
Yeah, I looked yesterday and she had 5 missing assignments. One of them wasn't home ec. She had to rate her grilled cheese. I was like, how are you missing that assignment?
Ooh, they're fiber splicing at Perry Road here in Chelsea. In the middle of the fiber guy's fiber splicing. Wait, so she misplaced her grilled cheese or she never made a grilled cheese? And that's an assignment now?
It was for home ec. I think she had to make a grilled cheese and then rate it, you know, 1 to 5 on how it turned out, I guess. There was some different things they had to rate on it. And she was missing that. I was like, that sounds like the easiest thing to do. Like, how are you missing that?
And shouldn't somebody else, like, grade their, you know, like, okay, you make a grilled cheese and then someone should grade it on that, not you grade yourself kind of deal?
Yeah, I think it's just a self-evaluation. I don't think it was a grade, more of a you did it.
Absolutely riveting. I tell you, I'm glad they want another $150 million of my tax dollars for your kids to learn how to make grilled cheese.
Yep, and I sure appreciate it.
I'm sorry, a grilled cheese, you should get points for... It should be graded. It shouldn't just be a pass or fail. Because, you know... There's art and skill in certain grilled cheeses, and even Gordon Ramsay knows you can screw it up.
Oh yeah, grilled cheese can sometimes go from raw to charcoal in a matter of about 10 seconds.
You got temperature control, fat, cheese, different cheeses handle things differently, breads handle it, but, you know. No, it's not. It's, oh, pass, fail. No, no. For the kids that need to put the effort in, it should be a letter grade, damn it. You slap two scrap singles in a slice of white bread, that's a C. But you get the cheese out and the panini press and oil it and put the right amount of fat on there and get the Maillard, the nice Maillard and the cheese pull, that's an, you know, now you're talking B, C, A. Shouldn't be all.
Maybe that's all part of it. I don't know. Maybe that was just one part of the overall thing. It's been hard to do assignments and then forget to hit the submit to teacher button or something. Stupid like that. It's like, we go in there and she's like, oh, I did it. And we're like, okay, well, show me. And then she goes in there, oh, I didn't hit the button. And it's like, well, that's part of the deal, kid.
Instead of my dog ate the homework, my network connection didn't work.
sorts of excuses. Favors that waiting for the teacher to grade it. After, you know, 2 weeks of it not being graded, I'm like, okay, your teacher definitely had time to grade this. What's going on? No, I didn't push the button.
Yeah, I've been, Bela brings her Chromebook over when she stays with us, so I get to see some of the stuff they're pushing through this classroom ed or whatever the heck that thing's called.
Chromebooks are kind of nice, but my opinion, they're kind of, kids in general have really kind of lost the art of using a computer. They don't get to deal with making things work in Windows.
I get it from a, when it used to, in the beginning, they used to be cost effective, but now they're like really cost wise, they're on par with your, mid range PCs at this point, or even, no, I want to go MacBook, but, or MacBook Pros, or AirPlayer, right? However, I did see that Apple is coming out with a competitor for that, a version to go towards the school market for around $599 or something.
Yeah, I haven't looked at them in quite a few years. It was probably 2019 or so when we got them. We got them for kids pretty young. They were, I think, kindergarten. And that's who they're good for, is the young kids that you don't want to give a full-blown computer to, and the old people that don't know how to use a computer. That's my one grandma's on a Chromebook, and yeah, I wouldn't give her a full PC again. That was a nightmare.
Yeah, I got my dad on a Chromebook for a while, but that finally got end of life. And Google's like, we're not going to support it anymore. But that's fine. Oh, so I gave him a Dell. Although I got my mom on an iMac, and she really likes it after being on PC for 40 years. She really does kind of like the feel. If I can get my dad over there, that'll be, and I'll have them both on Macs at least.
Yeah, I've never really mucked around with Macs. Had to use one in school one time, and that was kind of a pain. Getting used to one mouse button. That's unfortunate when they just end of life something and it's still working. And so yeah, this thing works just fine for what I need for, and now it's paperweight with lithium batteries and precious metals in it.
Oh, exactly. Cool. Well, no, I got two buttons on. Wow, yeah, I mean, I use two fingers on my trackpad, but I use a two-button mouse. The days of one-buttoning, it's not, you know, it's not like that, but there I go, under the overpass. Oh.
I mean, I'd like to have the Unix portion of it, but I just can't stand it. I can't stomach paying the Apple tax. I guess that's the nice thing with the PCs. You can pretty easily throw Linux on them. I did with my laptop after they quit supporting it for Windows 11, just threw Ubuntu on it.
Yeah, supposedly on, I haven't had a need to do it, but on the Intel Macs, there's a couple of distros that people have set up to put, you know, latest Ubuntu's and Even some of the newer Apple OS's for updates, you gotta do a couple little tweaks, but it'll do it. But I've got enough M1 now, or well, M3 and M2, that's my daily, that, you know, not the end of the world. I've got two M1 Mac Minis, and I got two iMac M1s that I need to figure out what I'm going to do. So, I thought Cam's going to buy one, but never did. Or, you know, he went around and got her, went around and had a kid.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Those Intel Macs can't put Windows on them too and all that jazz. Like I said, I don't have much experience with the whole Fruit ecosystem.
Yeah, you can boot camp on them. I just haven't done that. I got a trash can Mac too that I picked up in Hastings. That I'm like, I'm keeping that one because I could never afford the $8,000 or whatever it was to buy one of them. Those trash can Mac Pros were stupid expensive. I'm going to keep that one for my collection.
Yeah, but stupid expensive and not worth the expense.
Yeah, because like it's still a Intel base, so it's like it's, you know, they've moved on to M1, you know, their own silicon now.
I'm guessing they haven't made Linux distros and stuff to work on that other silicon.
On the M1? I'm not sure. Or on the Apple M series, you know, the Apple silicon? I'm not sure. I haven't really looked at it. I know on the Intel Macs there is, but I don't, I'm pretty sure somebody probably has for some reason.
Well, there's some Finn in his basement bothered to muck with it, isn't it?
Yeah, probably.
Good old open source world.
Alright, hold on, I'll be there.
There we go. Be away. This is KFA-FJH. Question?
This is KDA-DAX. I hear you loud and clear.
That's good. I'm transmitting with my Baofeng BSFAHP Pro, and I have a microphone connected to it, and little thing I'm holding. How does this thing sound? Does the mic sound good on it?
I can't tell you how it sounds in comparison to not using the microphone, but it's certainly readable, and in your full quieting and all that stuff, it's no problem understanding you.
Okay, that's good. I was just wondering if this mic was working good. The mic didn't sound bad on it or anything. I mean, it did come with one of my Baofeng radios, so it didn't work really good as the one that it came with. So I hooked it up to my other radio, and it actually works good with on this radio for some reason instead of my UV32, but it's kind of crazy.
I will say this, you're getting a little far away from the microphone and it's getting harder to understand you.
I didn't quite get that. Can you repeat that?
Yeah, what I said was you're getting a little bit far away from the microphone and it's getting harder to understand you.
Oh, okay. Is this better now? I moved it a little closer, but I think I had my finger over it a little bit, so that might have been cutting my sound off a little bit.
Yeah, 2-3 inches away from your mouth is about what they recommend, and that's what I'm using right now.
Okay. Yeah, that's nice. So I do want to say, on this radio, I mean, the port where the mic connects, whenever you put it in there, like, I noticed it makes the transmission, like, it makes the radio transmit for a slight second when you plug it in, and I don't really know why it does that, but who knows. Back over to you. This is AS8SJH.
The reason is because you're shorting a couple of contacts with the jack as you're inserting the pins. You probably shouldn't install the microphone with the radio powered on.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good idea, because if I plug it in before I turn the radio on, then it won't do that.
You got it. That's the best way to go with that. Don't plug anything into the radio, including a power cord, while you're using it, and you'll be happier with the outcome.
Yeah. Another thing I noticed about all my Dolphin radios is they don't, you can't really use it while it's charging at all, because it decreases the range by so much when you plug a charger into it. And I noticed that, not sure why that is, but probably just because the battery is trying to charge. But, yeah.
I carry spare batteries for just that reason, so I don't have to worry about charging up a radio that battery's gotten depleted. I just switch over to the other one, and then the batteries for my radios, which are Baofeng as well, at least the HTs are, they have USB-C ports on them, so they can be charged while the radio is being used with another battery.
Oh, okay, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I didn't know that. But with this radio, I have the battery on it. It's pretty big. I think it was $3,600 or something like that. But I don't really know. But Amazon, when I bought it from Amazon, that's the battery capacity says. So back over to you.
Yeah, you'll find that a spare battery costs probably about $20-$25, something like that. And depending on the model of the radio that you've got, it could cost as much as the radio, but when you consider the capability that it gives you, I use these for our CERT team. And so being able to continue talking even with a battery that's run down is important. Might need to consider what your use case is and what your situation is, but I found it worthwhile to invest in spare batteries for my radios, including the ham radios as well as GMRS.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds good. So I have on my UV32, I have and I know that my BFSAHP Pro don't have this, but it has a Siemens T1 and T2. And when I push them there, it shows like the time, the height, above G level and stuff like that. And both radios have CPS, and the one I'm transmitting on right now has CPS. And I can't like figure out how to open that same setting to see the time on this one that I can do on the
Yeah, I wish I could help you on that. My HTs don't have GPSs. Just haven't needed it. I've almost always got a phone with me, so that's got a pretty decent GPS in it, and I just haven't spent the money to get an HT with a GPS for that reason. So can't help you there, but YouTube and Google are your friends, my friend.
Yeah, that probably sounds the best. Google, YouTube, anything I can probably find. Or I'd probably just talk for the charge of the Houston 103.
Agreed. Copy that. Yeah, it'll accelerate all the searching and stuff, and it'll just condense it down to what you need to know. I've found that they lie to you sometimes. So sometimes they work off of old information. Sometimes they get confused about what you're asking. It really kind of depends on how careful you are in writing the query. So, you know, be advised that you need to do a reasonableness check when you get the stuff back out of those guys.
Okay. Make sure of that. I am getting, just like this, listen, I got 2 bars on this radio. It's been at 2 bars for a while. I'm sure it's getting closer to 1, but I'm not sure how much longer this thing will last, but if it gets low, I'll probably just switch over to my one of my UZ32s, because those are fully charged.
Well, you probably don't need the full 10 watts that DFHT puts out to hit a repeater, unless you're seriously far away from it. So that could ease up your power use right there. What I have found with Fofeng batteries is that once you start seeing 1 bar disappear, the other 2 go pretty quick. It's not linear. It's not a particularly good indication of how much power there is left in the battery. It's just a simple voltage check, and once the voltage seems to drop enough that the radio starts displaying a lower power level, then it's pretty close to being cooked for that charge period. You're going to need to recharge it over 88 VAX.
This is KSA-FJH. Yeah, totally agree. Definitely, for sure. So a lot of, I've had a couple, you know, all my radios do it, actually. Like, once the first bar goes down, it feels like the other 2 just go by quick. For every single one, even my UZ32.
Yeah, one of these days I will sink some money into, you know, getting an ICOM or a YAESU-HT, and then we'll see how they compare. But for the time being, anyway, I've been using these cheap radios for, gosh, about 13 years now, and I just haven't felt like I needed to spend the extra money on it. So that's what I use, and it seems to work out pretty good. This is a Baofeng Mini 5 that I'm speaking with you on right now. And it's just a little tiny handheld guy. It makes the UZ5R look big by comparison. Over.
Yeah, for sure. And I gotta tell you, honestly, I'm looking into getting into GMR. One person said, you know, I gotta get a radio ID from a website, and then I'm gonna have to get something like that, and then I can like start transmitting on CMR. But I kind of want to ask them for that, because the digital radio seems pretty cool too. Over.
Yep, been pretty happy playing with DMR. I don't do it a lot, but I'm using a little TYT unit that's probably, I don't know, 7-8 years old, something like that. Just got it not all that long ago from somebody who owed me a favor and gave me a radio. So let me see what this guy is here real quick. It's kind of hard to one-hand a battery on one of these guys. Let's see. It is an MD380, 5-watt output, and it's the UHF version. So might look for one of those. They're nice. And, yeah, it's just a simple thing of registering for a DMR ID. You do a little Google search, and it'll take you 5 minutes, and they'll generate one for you on the spot, if I remember right.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Yeah, let's see here. So I know on Baofeng, yeah, I have a couple different antennas for my Baofeng radios. I have mostly level rubber ducks, but I have this one antenna I was going to tell you about. It's kind of big. It's like 18 inches long. It's flexible, and like on the top of it, it's plastic, so it's like hard plastic around the very end of it, a little bit. But I remember like the part that screws onto the radio, that's metal, but it's kind of like rough metal.
Who made that guy for you?
What'd you say?
Who made the antenna? What brand is it?
Oh, it's Baofeng. It's a Baofeng antenna, but it's got... I'll walk over to it. It's flexible. It's got like a metal top bottom that screws on. The part that's flexible is metal. And then at the top of it, it's got a couple inches like a plastic wrapped around at the very top of the antenna.
Yeah, I like using the Nagoya 771 antennas. That's what I'm using right now talking with you. It's about 15 inches long, if I remember right, and it's got about a 2 or 3 dB gain. It's considerably better than the factory Baofeng antennas, but not terribly expensive. It's about $20, and it does the job rather nicely.
Well, that's good. That's for sure. That's a good antenna. I was thinking, you know, I need to buy one of those antennas, you know, for one of my radios and start using that, because it'll probably work better than all the other antennas I have and all the other ones.
Yeah, people seem to think that the Nagoya antennas are pretty good, and my experience has been that I can communicate with them better than I can with the factory antennas. This Mini 5 came with an antenna that was basically just a null antenna. It really didn't work all that well, but I replaced it right away with this. I just got this radio maybe about a month ago, and so far I'm still happy with them. They seem to work pretty consistently across all the radios that I've used them with, and got no complaints. And for the price, you know. Again, it's a significant amount of the price of the radio itself, but if you just accept the fact that the radio is just kind of a starting point and you're going to need to buy some accessories to go with it, then, you know, it's not terrible.
W-A-E-A-D.
I have a couple, you know, I bought a couple, like when I bought my EZ-32s, you know, when I got those were... You know, those came with, like, a bunch of accessories and stuff like that. You can have, like, these, folders that you can put on and put your, belt clip. And it's honestly, pretty cool. But, yeah, the radios come with a lot of accessories, which I really like. Over.
W-8-E-A-P, I think you were trying to break in there. Go ahead.
How you doing, guys? Yeah, I agree. The Nagoya $21 is probably the best, but me being a walkie-talkie junkie, having over 50 HDs, it got cost prohibitive. So some friends of mine did a lot of antenna testing, and believe it or not, the ABRI 771 is like 97% as good as the Nagoya, and they're like $6. And if you're like me that has like 50 walkie-talkies, and like you said, I have 4 of the UV5R minis. They're, I paid anywhere from like $38 to $42 a pair, about $20 a piece for the radios. And like I said, I found the Abreeze to be nearly as good. I mean, very, 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 very close, and they're like, I think I paid $10 for 2 of them. I think they're like $5 a piece, so I'm not saying that the Nagoyas are, you know, not worth it, but like I said, when I need to buy 50 of them, it's a little bit cost prohibitive. And
Red Tail makes a good 771 equivalent, and Redivis makes a good one. Redivis makes a really nice one, the wide frequency band, because it's really thick. It's a real thick, heavy antenna. It's about twice as thick as the Nagoya's, but it's got a wide frequency band. But again, under $10 each. But I do have a handful of Nagoya's, don't get me wrong. But after a while, I just kind of gave up and went to the Redtails, Redivis, and the Breeze. Kid Radio ones didn't seem to work as good, the off-brand ones, but the Breeze actually seemed to work really good, really close. 95-97% as good as the Nagoya.
By the way, the name here is Jeff. The call sign is Kilo Delta 8 Victor Alpha X-ray KD8VAX. I have not experimented with the Breeze before. Of course, I don't have 50 radios. I thought I had a problem when I had half a dozen, and I'm not sure what I would do with 50 radios. I can only talk on one at a time at best.
I don't know. I just collect them. Like you said, you can get them for $20 a piece. You know, they go on sale. One time they had a pair of Redivis RT85s, which are probably have the most solid receivers of any of the Chinese radios, and they were $20 a pair, $10 each, and we all bought a few. I think we all bought 5 or 6 pairs of those, and I can go on. I can go on all day, but yeah, I put them on a shelf, and I take one down every day. I play with a different one. I know it's crazy, but then again, I know a lot of people that are just getting their ham license and GMRS license, and I give away a lot of them. I think I gave away like 10 of them. But, yeah, it's a cheap thrill, you know, especially if it doesn't have chirp capabilities. Then, you make a Python file to make it chirp capable, so you just have a little bit of fun with them, you know, and it's same price as it would if you went out and got fast food.
Roger that. I've been thinking about giving away my UV5Rs. I probably shouldn't. They're unlocked and they've withstood the test of time, but I really don't need half a dozen radios, to be honest with you. And Yeah, I really don't need half a dozen radios. I wish that it was only half a dozen radios. That's just half a dozen HTs. Let's put that out there. I've got 3 HF radios. I've got a little shortwave receiver set. It's a couple of RTL SDRs. Yeah, I think I've got more than my fair share of radio equipment around here. But, you know, like you said, it's a cheap thrill. And, you know, the technology keeps evolving a little bit. I like this Mini 5 because I can program it with my cell phone. So that's good. But I don't want to leave the other guy out that started all of this in the first place, KD8VAX.
This is KFA-FKH. Yeah, a lot of the antennas on the radios are pretty good. And what you were talking about, the 771 Nagoya, I was looking at it while you guys were talking, and it's actually like one of the number, as you said, it like it's one of the really good, really, really good antenna now when I was looking at it, so really, really good.
Sorry, I don't remember the calls. Go ahead to the other guy.
Yep, Eric here. Whiskey 8 Echo Alpha Papa, W8EAP. Yeah, I don't know how it ended up being that way. A lot of them, when I say 50 walkie-talkies, a lot of them are, not all of them are ham. Some are POC radios, push-to-talk over cellular. And yeah, I'm kind of a junkie with shortwaves. I got 3 of the ATS-25s. I got 3 of the ATS-25 minis. Couple DB20G mobiles, Anytone 778, and a TYT 9600 rig, which I'm talking on right now. So, yeah, I'm just saying, you know, I mean, you know, you can't go wrong with a Nagoya, but if you have a bunch of walkie-talkies, you know, I mean, the Abris were so close. They are so, so close in performance. I mean, I don't think you could actually tell them apart in the real world.
That's good to know. I haven't messed with the Abris, but it may have persuaded me. I've got another radio on its way as I speak. Talk about not needing six. I probably don't need seven either, but I'll try and agree with that one. I'm sure that the one that's coming with the one that I ordered is probably not. It's a TID radio. Haven't played with TID radio yet, so I'm giving one of those a try. Over.
Yeah, he's got a question for I think it's. KFA, KJH out there. What kind of pan mic are you running?
It's a Falsing hand mic that I have plugged into the radio. But it just came with one of my radios, so I'm using it right now.
Yeah, if you don't mind, just for comparison, can you try the stock microphone? Turn the radio off first, though, before you pull the mic out. Like the other gentleman says, as you're pushing it in or pulling it out, it's sorting out the internal contacts. So, yeah, I'm just curious how that thing would sound with the stock microphone.
I was actually going to suggest the same thing. Good idea.
The stock. This is KFA-FJH. Steady by.
If that was the stock mic, I think I liked it better than the hand mic. What do you think, other gentleman out there? Forgot your first name. I think it's Jeff.
Roger that. Yeah, I doubled over him for a second there, but I got the last part of his transmission, and it was certainly cleaner. So, yeah, that's the reason why I don't use the mics unless I've like, out and about doing search stuff, because frankly the sound quality just isn't as good. You know, as far as being able to read what he was saying and all that stuff, yeah, it's functional, right? But I think that the stock baked into the radio microphone probably sounds a little better.
This is KFA-FJH. Okay, I'm now on the stock mic. I don't have that one plugged back in. Now I'm just using the built-in microphone on the radio. Does it sound any better?
I would say so.
I think one of the key things is that you got to get yourself close enough to the microphone for you to take the most advantage of it. I get the sense that you're a little bit far away from it still. I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe it's just me. But I am within tasting distance of my radio right now, if that is any illustration. KD8VAX, Jeff.
In other words, you're saying, don't be timid, speak up, get close to that mic. Yeah, that's the thing. Some people just talk really quiet. And as they're talking, they talk softer and softer and farther away from the mic. And, you know, some people just talk like this, where they should be talking a lot more like this.
Yeah, I totally agree. You got to have just the perfect distance away from the microphone, and you got to be close to it and still keep the same voice and not start to get more quiet.
Yeah, that's the best transmission I've heard from you so far. You're doing it right there.
That's very good. All right, I'm going to send it over to the other station here. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wish I could give some recommendations on hand mics. I've gotten free hand mics and free antenna. That's weird. My my Bofang Minis actually came with two Abri long antennas wound up in the bottom of the box. So that was kind of weird. A lot of my radios come with the Abris, so that's how I became accustomed to those. Same thing with microphones. I haven't really found any of the mics that outperform the stock mic. I mean, it's... I got a Redivis, I think it's HK0008, which is an amplified mic. I think that's probably one of the only mics that's louder and clear, both transmit and receive, over a stock built-in mic. I might have got that part number wrong. I just bought it recently for a push-to-talk over cellular radio. But, yeah, I got a handful of microphones, and I don't think any of them are worth a darn. I mean, they have their purpose. If you really need an external mic, they work, but I don't think I've ever found any that sounded better than the stock speaker or mic, except for that amplified one.
That's been more or less my experience, too. The only reason why I will use a remote hand mic is when I'm doing search stuff. We tend to patrol city festivals, that sort of thing, and I'm in uniform and I'm wearing a vest and I'm carrying the radio around on my belt, and I can pin the mic to a loop on my shirt. That's the only time that I'll use a remote microphone. The rest of the time, it's just a lot better and easier to just key up the radio and put my face into it.
This is KFA-FJH. I just want to say, guys, I got to go somewhere in, like, about 20 minutes. So I'm going to say 73 now and head out. But I'll probably talk later, probably after probably 8 or something like that. But I'll hop back on this repeater around there. But I'll say 73 for now. I got to get going, and I'll talk to you guys later.
73's to you. I got a phone call coming up in 8 minutes anyway, so I'm going to jump off myself. You guys have a great afternoon. It's KDAVAX, and I will be monitoring but clear.
All right, catch you guys later. I usually have this thing on in the background. I'm not what you consider a lurker like some people, John. But I do turn the radio on for a couple hours a day and have it on in the background. So anyhow, catch you guys later. W8EAP. Oh, by the way, Jeff, you looked up your call sign, and your address is in my old neighborhood. So.
Roger that. W8EAP, I'll look you up. Have a good day.
November 8, Whiskey Juliet Lima, monitoring.
Connected to the MN Network.
Did the station just call in, or was that the auto greeting for the station calling?
Oh, let's try this one. KCKJO. Trying to find a repeater that sounds good. KCKJO.
K-E-8-W-O-J, K-E-8-W-O-J, K-E-4-Z-Y-Q. K-E-8-W-O-J, K-E-8-W-O-J, K-E-4-Z-Y-Q. KEWOJ, KE4ZYQ. Negative contact, KEWOJ, KE4ZYQ, clear.
KJL.
Was that Cujo? KE4ZYQ.
KJL, yeah, that's me. I'm on my way back from Grand Blanc and running off to Central Michigan Flint Tower, see how it goes.
I got you pegging my needle through the repeater, that's for sure. And I should be on the Mount Clements, Roger.
Got it. Yeah, you're at Sterling Heights, so you should be able to hit the Mount Clements up there. I'm over here on somewhere between the Flint and the Holly, the Durand, and the Mayville. So, see which one's closer.
Yep, I saw that. Well, you're making the trip. No dropouts or problems so far, knock on wood. Yeah, I'm over here in Clinton Township, not far from Sterling Heights, but not far from Mount Clements, actually.
Oop, that didn't work. Thought I had you there on Holly. Figured the bird repeater would be a clock closer in Mayville, but apparently not.
Yeah, some of the repeater links, I know the identifier tone at the end, the ID tone, like the Hazel Park has the E site, which gives an E for the site.
Yeah, I bounce around between all of them just to see when you're talking and just flip between the different channels.
Seems like Flint is still a viable option. Oh, I'm tired. What a day today. Yep, KE4ZYQ. I think after my transmission, the identifier was the M for Mount Clements. Yeah, just wait till daylight savings time changes. See how you feel tired after that, right? Roger.
All right, I switched over to Mayville. How do I sound, Joe? KCAKJL.
Yep, full copy, full signal. No static whatsoever. And very readable, Roger.
Oh, that's what I like to hear. And tomorrow is Flint and Petoskey. So that's going to be a day in itself right there. Hopefully we'll get home early enough. Not sure what we got to do up there, but we'll figure it out when we get there, as we always do.
Yep, KE4ZYQ. Sounds like your job's very random location-wise. And hopefully you can tolerate some of the rain we're supposed to get off and on these next several days. And I think we got maybe 3 days out of the next eight or so. 6 to 8 that are going to be raining, 3 that may not be.
It certainly is going to be an interesting week, I'll tell you that much.
Well, as long as there's not any major flooding, especially for those traveling to work and back, or homes. But rain comes down, and when it's done, it's done, unlike the snowfall and ice that could be even more treacherous for those driving, especially.
Oh, yeah. I've driven in some of those snow squalls this past season. That was not very inviting.
Okay, for ZYQ, it sounds like at least you survived today's work. You're still breathing and talking, so that's a good sign, right?
Oh, yeah, thank goodness for all-wheel drive. I can put it on icy conditions, and I get a little bit of 4x4 traction in there, which makes traveling a little bit safer. So I just take my time, don't rush anywhere, and make it to my destination on time or close on time and safely. That's all that matters.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Yep, KE4ZYQ. Well, just out of curiosity, a thought came to mind. Have you seen any increase in potholes as opposed to last year or previous years, or no?
All depends on where I go, but the freeway seems, you know, 69 is usually pretty smooth. There's some choppy areas, but that's just where they cut it and patched it. But besides that, I really haven't had any major issues on any roads with deep potholes. But I try to avoid them.
Yep, well, I hope your travels or many people don't have problems with some of the road work they're starting to do lately. I think I heard on the news some about 696 and I-75 and off-ramps and on-ramps and all sorts of stuff. They have to redo a bunch of stuff this year. So it's going to really change a lot of people's driving habits or directions this year.
Oh, yeah. I agree. I said, but it doesn't matter. You can have the cleanest roads, the straightest roads, and the best roads in the world, and there's going to be somebody there to screw it up and drive like an idiot. I see it every day, all the time.
I understand what you're saying. I don't know why people would have to monkey with their phone or have it in their hand or with all this Bluetooth technology and have earbuds, and all you got to do is reach up and touch an earbud to answer a call, and shouldn't be looking at a phone while you're driving, and unless you're a passenger, of course. But there should be no distraction like that. But, hey, there's an idiot born every minute, they say. Back to you.
Yeah, see, on the, you know, when I travel on the west side, they're nutty out there. You know, they got that big S-curve right there in Grand Rapids, and, man, they take that same thing, and they, like the way we take 696, you know, NASCAR. With lots of turns, and they're just ridiculous, and they don't let you in sometimes. And I'm used to driving in, you know, aggressive traffic when I'm, you know, living in L.A. for 3 years.
Yep, KE4CYQ. The last couple times I went out shopping during the day, a weekday, not a weekend, over here by Hall Road in some of the exits and street crossings, people don't know how to start up when the light changes and the person's ahead of the line. They wait almost 5 minutes before they get going. They don't realize the third person in line is going to get caught, or fourth person get caught by the light change, which is brief. And they take forever to get going when traffic stopped and everybody stopped for them. They just take forever to realize, oh, the light has changed. You know, you honk your horn, they wonder why you honk the horn for them.
Oh, yeah, I've had a couple of those people in front of me, and they're staring at their phone. It's like, oh, hello, move. You know, I got a phone up here, too, on a holder, and it's on a charger, but all it's doing is showing me a map, and I don't, it just gets me quickly around where I need to go, and then I know where to go from there. You know, but I don't sit there and stare at it constantly. My other phone's sitting on the side here, charging, and I got that one on silent, because I really don't care who's trying to get a hold of me on that one.
Well, I'll not elaborate too much on bad drivers, but if they find somebody guilty of driving distracted, they should maybe have a way to make any cell phone not be able to be used other than for phone calls. You can't get any kind of internet connection. You just phone calls for emergency call out or call in, and you can't get anything else, and make those people accountable for their crazy driving.
Well, yeah, when cell phones first came out and car phones, I mean, it was a different story. But now it's like people live on them, and I mean, that's dumb. My life does not revolve around my cell phone. All right, I gotta change towers. You gotta give me a couple minutes, Joe. KJO.
USL, KE4ZYQ.
AWJL.
Is that a bear waking up from hibernation? What was the sound? What was that sound? KE4ZYQ.
Yeah, something like that. Thing is, Joe, but y'all don't understand, them phones it's more than just a phone now. Them things is like computers.
Okay, I think you're preaching to the choir, as they would say. Yeah, I know they're like computers, but people need to know driving is driving, and distractions, distractions, and that's where more accidents come from. But, yeah, just like Cujo, he's got his on a stand charging and got a map on it. He can glance at it briefly, but watch traffic. I've done that with a map on it, but I don't put my hand on it, distracting and getting into accidents. So, you know, you got to have a level of knowledge there.
Yeah, well, they got all kind of stuff now that you can use. You know, and like you said, you can put it on a stand or whatever in your car. But I don't need that. I still use my hand. I make sure I keep my eyes on the road while I'm talking there too. I don't have no problem with that. But some people do, and I tell you. And the worst thing is the texting, man. And a lot of them have gotten killed that way.
Well, KE4ZYQ, in some ways that's good. You know, you weed out the dumb people. They weed themselves out of the food chain. And then only the smarter people advance and propagate and get more kids. You know, they have more brains. So it's kind of a natural selection by some people's own hands.
Roger. Well, it's gotten so bad now, I think in Canada, they don't even want the ham radio. They don't even want the ham operator to pick up a microphone. The only one to pick up a microphone is the police over there. So at least we ain't got it that bad, Joe.
Ask me a little space for Cujo to come back in if he's still listening. KE4ZYQ. Well, that's because we're the United States, you know. We got more rights for individuals than most any other country. That's why I'm glad I was born here and raised here. Because the Constitution and the Bill of Rights is what it is. And thank God for the Founding Fathers for doing what they did for everybody after them. And that's what we live by and need to live by. So there you go.
Yeah, well, I got mixed feelings about it. But anyway, I guess it is what it is. No doubt about it there. So. All right, well, Joe, I just jumped in here. I heard you in there. I just want to shake your feathers a little bit. Let's put it that way. I know you're going to definitely have a subject to talk about there. So with that, I'll let you go. This is November 8th, Whiskey Juliet Lima.
Hey, Jay, well, I think you know why you're living here and not in Canada. Not that all of Canada's bad, but you're living here because it's for the people, by the people, of the people. So, but you could always live in Canada there. You wouldn't be using your radio much, your ham radio then. You'd be in trouble. So I see how you're living over here. See, you follow the things, too. Don't try to fool us there. We know you're doing what you're doing. But we'll see if Cujo's back in there. KE4ZYQ.
The reason why I'm back here is because it got too expensive crossing the border every day. Working over here and living over there. And then when I want to party hardy with my buddies and stuff, I gotta pay every time. So it can get kinda expensive. So I said, well, it's time for me to stop jumping borders and just stay on one side.
Well, my question is, are you American or are you Canadian? Are you retransplanted, or I guess you were born here, I think. Maybe I'm wrong.
Joe, no, you're not wrong. I was born here, but my sons, they were both born over there, because I had a relationship with their mother, of course, and so they got dual citizenship, so they could live on either side of the border, which is pretty cool. Yeah. I remember I had to help my oldest son because he was working at the border, and his car had broke down, and he's on this side, but he lived in Canada, and we had to get back and forth, had to push him back across the border, and then bring him back over here and back. So we make a long story short there. We had to make 4 trips, and you know, and keep it, and you know, they keep a record of that. So they said, hey, this is across the border. What's going on? Said, well, I was trying to help my son with his car. Car broke down, and you know, so he lives over here. He said, what is he? Well, I mean, is he Canadian? I told the officer, he's got dual citizenship. That, yeah, I didn't have to say no more.
K84ZYQ. Okay, so you got 2 sons that are double agents. I understand. Secret agents, double agents, okay. Well, Cujo, if you're listening to us talk there, don't hesitate to jump back in there, sir, if you change the repeaters. K84ZYQ. Well, I'm going to change frequencies here. KE4ZYQ is going to be QSY somewhere else. 73.
Well, all right, Joe. Take care, and we'll say 73 to you. This is N8WJL clear, but I'm going that way.
Connected to CMN Network.
Sounds good to me, Fred. KCAKJL.
Oh, yeah. So where are you at today?
No. Oh, where was I? I had to go to, where did I go? I went to Southfield, and before that I forgot where I went. But then I ended up in Grand Blanc. Tomorrow I got to go to Flint, be there by 8:30, throw in a power supply, take off there, go right up to Petoskey and figure out some camera issues.
All right. Leaving Davidsburg, headed to Fenton, so, and then after I'm done in Fenton, I should be able to head home for the day. Then Lapeer and Ortonville, too.
Yep, Grand Blanc was the hospital up there, and got one camera working, and then they're like, oh no, this one too, and find out that one hasn't worked in a year and a half, so now we're got to get a lift and go up and take a look at it and troubleshoot some other stuff and see what they want to do. And then tomorrow, Petoskey is the same thing. Hospital up in Petoskey, and they got cameras going in and out and servers locking up and nobody knows why, so we got to go figure it out.
Now, do you guys have a lift, or do you have to just rent one for all those, or what you call it? Is there enough business where you guys got your own?
Nope, we just rent them. We call them in like a week ahead of time and then get everything rescheduled and go back out when the lift is there. I mean, we had one that we were in Grand Rapids and luckily the lift was still there, so we got it, used it, fixed it, came back, dumped it, said, okay, come pick it up. But it sat there because it was so cold outside. It sat for a good week or so because we're not doing anything in, you know, negative degree weather on a lift with wind. Nope, ain't happening.
That makes sense. I do gotta stop at the auto parts. I gotta get a new tail light, but bulb or whatever. I'm gonna do that while I'm in Fenton, but man, today's been a long day. I just have to pick stuff up and fetch, so it's not like I'm going to be there too long.
Oh, that sounds like fun. I'm going to go home, I'm going to park, and I'm going to just crash out on the couch. because I am burned for the day. Tomorrow's going to be even worse. So I'm not sure what time I'm going to get home tomorrow, but you know, as soon as I get home, I'm just going to go right to bed. All right, Fred, I'll let you get to where you got to go. I'm about to pull up in front of the house here, so I will chat at you on the road on another time. 73 in your final, JCH, KJO.
Yeah, up and down in the PJ is not far. Down there in Houston. See ya. W.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Kilo Echo 8, Foxtrot Lima Yankee, monitoring.
This is KF8, EDQ listening.
Kilo Echo 8, Foxtrot Lima Yankee, monitoring.
KE8, FOY. You've got KFA EDQ, go ahead.
What's that?
Negative copy on that last transmission. This is the call sign is Kilo Foxtrot 8 Echo Delta Quebec. KFA EDQ, you've got Mike and Saginaw.
Okay, KFA EDQ, this is KEAFLY in Shelby Township. How's it going for you?
I can't complain. I just got done working a little bit ago, and I'm just kind of relaxing from the day and hanging out with the dogs, and I'm probably going to take them for a walk in a little while. So it's been a pretty good day. It wasn't worked too hard, too bad today. So it was a good day. How's your day going?
Well, I'm good on day, and started to feel terrible, and then, so I went home for the day, and I changed the cinnamon sticks from the
Alright, you weren't holding the repeater completely on that last one either. So maybe, you can try holding still. It kind of sounds like you might be walking, moving a bit. So, try holding still and holding the radio up as high as you can. And that might help, but I heard that you started to not feel well, so, you know, maybe you're feeling better, so that sounds good. Back to you.
I think the root cause was some cinnamon sticks. I had some green lantern. I think that was the root cause. I had the whole box of them. Well, you don't eat a whole box of cinnamon sticks in one sitting, I guess. But, yeah, so that was that. But I'm feeling a bit better. I'm feeling better, so, you know. I'm feeling better, feeling quite a bit. I'm feeling a lot better than I was this morning.
You got me cracking up over here. You ate an entire box of cinnamon sticks? Like cinnamon sugar, I imagine? So I think that's how you get the diabetes. But you sound like a young man, so your body can probably handle it all right. Except for feeling a little sick. Yeah, I would imagine that would do it. When I was young, I remember eating a lot of candy, and my parents would always say, you're going to make yourself sick with eating all that candy. And, yeah, they were right. They were right. I did make myself sick with that candy. And, but, yeah, it's K-E-Y-F-L-Y. So how long have you been a ham? How long have you been in the hobby?
It's been a few years now. I'm not
caught about maybe 10 to 20% of that last transmission. Most of it was just static, though. But, all right, my friend, I think I'll let you go for now. But it's always a pleasure meeting new people. So have a fantastic day, 73. This is KFAEDQ, 73 to KEAFLY. Maybe we'll talk again. KF8DRC from KF8EDQ. How are you doing today, Jack?
Oh, very good. How about you? I haven't heard you out there on this. I don't want to repeat it at all. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Jack. Thanks for asking. Yeah, I don't pull my call sign out on here too often. There's usually so many other options, and the MI-1 network is just one of those fantastic options. But every once in a while, I like to poke in here and see who's chatting it up. You know, there's the regular crowd at 7 a.m. And then there's a bunch of activity during the day, and then it kind of quiets down during the night. So I like to see who's listening, but yeah, I'm always going to ask Jack if he's doing all right. So yeah, I just got done with work a little bit ago. How was your day?
Well, Roger, good to hear you out here anyhow. Yeah, I was checking on Jack. Roger?
Yeah, Roger, Roger. I, you know, I've upgraded my radio game since the middle of last year. I remember when I was talking to you on GMRS, and you know, you would tell me, you know, I need a Nagoya antenna, or I needed to figure out, you know, learn what digital radio was, and now look at me. Now we're on the Yaesu. We're on a Yaesu on a Comet 2x4 antenna, so hopefully we're coming in all right.
You're coming great. I'm on Rockhill 860. Sitting in the living room and talking to you.
Yeah, Roger, Roger. I think you said Radcell. You're coming in pretty clean, but sometimes my hearing isn't so good. So, but those Radcells, I have one. I've got the 950 Pro, and I've been pretty impressed with it so far. It does APRS and all the digital networking, or no, it does. It's an analog radio, but it does APRS, and I like the push-to-talk buttons on it. I like the way it programs. It took me all of, you know, 5 minutes to load it with my list of channels, and I was right, you know, I was laughing. So I like those Radcells.
This one is by my hand. You can program HF on it, AM radio, and the ham radios and repeaters. And also GMRS. On this one here, I have an HF, and I have AM, and I have a GMRS, and also the ham.
Yeah, one of those like all receive radios. Those are pretty neat. I've got a Quanshang TK118, and that's my, like, all-receive, you know, it does HF and all kinds. Pretty much, I still have yet to learn how to use that thing because of how advanced it is, but it's only an analog radio. But it does all-receive. It has this, like, T-shaped antenna that you plug into the top of it. It's the strangest thing I've seen, but, you know, it seems to work all right. It's a nice little 10-watt radio. I like 10-watt handhelds. That's kind of like, that's my favorite. Like, so I've got a couple different models of 10-watt radios. Then, you know, the mobile units are always superior, always putting out a lot more power. So, Yeah, I was wondering what I was gonna do this evening. I was thinking about hopping on my sideband radio and seeing what's out there on 10 meters, but it doesn't look like the band is that open.
Yeah, if you want, I'll hop in with you, and I'll text you when I am on, and you can text me back. You know what? I just got another radio not too long ago, maybe about a month. I don't know if you ever hoping. UV32. TM UV32. You'll like that radio. That radio is all colors.
Yeah, Roger, Roger. I've seen that radio. I had the UV32, which is the it's the analog version, and then there's the DM32, which is the DMR version, and I liked it at first. It was one of the first handhelds that I got, but I ended up returning it because it wouldn't receive on 2 meters that well, so I chalked it up to, it was just like a bum radio, but it kind of put me off on that model of radio a little bit. But they make all different colors of that. That's a cool, just a cool radio if you get a good one. So, and maybe one day I'll get one, but I'm not in a rush. I already have a wall of radios, well, handhelds. I've got probably 10 radios, 12 radios, I don't know. And that's enough for me. I can only use one at a time anyway.
Right, KFATFC. You know what, you're right. The one I'm telling that right there, I'm telling you, has got two antennas. Not one, but it's got two. One besides this other one.
Yeah, I'm gonna look up that Radtel right now. It's probably real similar to the maybe in this 950. What is that? The 880. 880 versus 950. Let's just search for it. Yeah, I was gonna. Oh, they got it on Amazon. The 880 crossband repeat. See, that's a cool feature. That's what I really like about, I think my Radtel does that, the 950 does that, and APRS, see, this 880 is pretty, that's a nice radio. I've got a couple of different handhelds that do crossband repeat, but I've got it's a VTEC 6x2 Pro that does same frequency repeat on digital, and I always thought that feature was really neat, too.
This one here, let me tell you what this one. I'll send you a picture of it anyhow. This one is the 860. That's what it, I told you, it does the HF. That's the 860 right there.
All right, gotcha. Roger. Yeah, I was looking up the wrong one. There's the... Okay, you can get it with or without the shortwave. Oh, it's a loop antenna, looks like. Yeah, I think that's kind of the antenna that I have, except it's in the shape of a T on my Quanshang. Yeah, very interesting. Of course, I don't know anything of, you know, I don't know how that works. That would be a neat handheld to have here for only... It says it's only $37 on Amazon. That's pretty reasonable. It's amazing what kind of radios you can get these days. From what I understand, back in the day, you had to pay through the nose to get a good radio.
Yeah, that's for sure. And I have a Rocktail. I like that a lot, that 890 I was telling you about. It shows frequency. It shows the CTCSS. And it shows that you can program it that way with the names, too. And that's one thing I like about that one. I have not seen no other radio does that. This is the radio that's pretty small, too.
Yeah, Roger, Roger. This is KFA-EDQ for radio identification. These Radtels, yeah, they're very reasonably priced, and they seem pretty small. The 950 Pro that I have is actually kind of, it's a big radio, but I like the antenna on it. It's flexible. It's like a gummy antenna. little rubber ducky, but that thing is like probably 10 inches long. That's out of the box too. I thought that was pretty neat. But yeah, those red tails. I thoroughly enjoyed the CPS, the programming software. I don't know if you use a computer to program your radios, because yeah, you can use the CPS to name all your channels, and then you can pull them up by name. I usually organize them by like call sign dash like location or city or nearest town or whatever. So that way you've got some form of reference as to where it is and the call sign of it. You weren't quite holding the repeater, and when you were, it was just static. So I'm sorry. You have to come back and try again. Let's see if you come in clear again.
Right now, is that any better?
Yep, that's way better.
Because I'm standing inside the house, plus in the front of the window, anyhow. Anyhow, Mike, I'll send you the picture if you want, that 890, and I really do like that one. It's very easy to read, and everything is in front of you. You don't have to search for it. All right, Mike, good talking to you. We'll talk again. We already talked Monday night, anyhow. Take care. KFA, ERC.
Roger that, Jack. Have a fantastic evening, and you know, we'll talk again, Lord willing. And 7-3, and take care. This is KFA EDQ. I'll be clear and listening.
888 Sad Bible.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
WABPD. Streetlights are on. Why are you playing radio? W8RCY. Good evening.
Because I'm leaving the church and heading home, I had to work soup suppers with the Ushers Club tonight.
Absolutely nothing wrong with that. My hat's off to you for doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, you know. If I'm doing something noble, the wife will let me out after dark.
Okay. I had a conversation earlier today through All-Star Notes, and I don't know what Sean was on, but he's on the West Coast. And with his conference this weekend, we talked a little bit around lunchtime or brunch time, and you talk about coming across crystal clear with a signal. I swear he was in my apartment with me. In another room, but I mean, the conversation was so clear, I was totally amazed.
Well, that's how you sound when you're on your note. Just crystal clear and right here.
Well, I don't know exactly what toys he took with him, and I think, I know Wally's out there with him, but I don't know if Wally took his, that foreign brand radio. Starts with a T, I can't remember the name of it, brain fart. But anyway, yeah, I know he's got that, and I've not heard any transmissions from him. If he has, I might have missed him. I don't know, but
John just was amazingly clear. And then I told him, I said that, you know, you're lucky you didn't have to go to work this morning, because the fog was probably the thickest I've seen in quite some time. I mean, you look out my 8th floor balcony, forget it. I mean, I could barely see the ground. There was just enough from the back service road here to the campus. We have a couple of, you know, street lights or whatever, and I could barely see those. And going, dang. And then I went up front early in the morning because I had to see the management. I had to pick up something that they forgot to give me, and their offices are closed today. But they are in the building because they have meetings and stuff. So I had to wait there, and I'm looking out the front door, and I couldn't even see all the way out to Madison Solberg Drive, the main drive as you turn in off at the corner. Couldn't even see that far. So it was definitely pea soup and then some. I was waiting for the London air horns or fog horns to go off.
Yeah, I'd say less than an eighth of a mile of visibility, because when I was driving to work, I got to the light right there by Fitzgerald High School, and I couldn't hardly see 9 Mile Road. So, yeah, it was bad this morning, but didn't hinder me too much. Of course, I don't have a commute, so to speak.
Well, either way, you still got to be careful and you got to be safe, because it's never you. It's always the other party that makes the mistakes. Or, you know, I was talking to somebody this morning, and they said they were out before it lifted and they had their brakes on. I said, you're not supposed to run your brakes. And she goes, well, I don't have fog lamps. I said, then just run your regular lights. And, you know, but, you know, some people, I mean, for, you know, as old as we all are, still think bright, turning on your high beams and your brights are better than, you know, just your regular headlights. They'll never learn.
Well, it's like the semi that was going southbound on Mound Road. It had just the yellow amber lights over the headlights on as daytime running type lights, but no headlights, no trailer lights, nothing to the back. I'm like, well, there's an accident waiting to happen.
You've been to my campus, and we have that circular drive out front, and I'm sitting there in the lobby, and I'm looking at the sign that would say one way, and it's a counterclockwise one way, so you turn right and go around the loop counterclockwise. Well, I'm looking at the sign, and it looks like the sign is missing a screw, and the sign kind of is like hanging upside down because the pole is extending above what the sign should read. Nope. The fog was so thick, I didn't see the sign above it. All I saw was the darkness of the pole. And once the fog lifted, there was an actual sign there, but it was so thick I just didn't see it. And the only thing I saw was the darkness of the pole above it. And so I got a little bit confused. I mean, if I went out there and I looked at it, I would have just, you know, did the Homer Simpson thing, don't, you know, and felt embarrassed. And I go, okay, you know better.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know which way it points, and you would have gone around the counterclockwise way, and somebody you knew might have gone the other way, and you might have met in the middle. There's another guy with his high beams on.
Well, what's funny there is, as I get, you know, DoorDash deliveries, or if I'm on a, you know, if I come back from the doctor's or something like that, like my dentist is down by, it's north of 9 miles, about 9.5 in John R., and I take a Uber for that. And the guy's pulling in, and I'm looking at his little Uber map, and it tells the drivers to go clockwise around the loop instead of counterclockwise, which is the one-way arrow. And he kind of says, well, which way do I go? And I said, go one way and turn to your right. Because if this thing gets full of emergency vehicles, you'll get yourself boxed in and you'll never get out till they're done and they leave. And that's happened a couple times, which is kind of funny. They're like, well, they're going to get out. And they go, well, first, you know, they just laugh and say, hey, look, we got an emergency here, blah, 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 blah. You're just going to have to wait.
Yeah, I don't have 100% faith in Ubers, DoorDashers, or anything like that. I've seen some crazy stuff out of some of those people.
Most of my, I use, just DoorDash and Uber. I don't use Lyft or anybody else. But I can actually build a list of favorite drivers and be on their list if I call. So I have drivers that are kind of like assigned to me. And, so if I have a driver and he's in the area, I just tap on him and he knows it's me. He knows I'm legit. I know they're legit. And there's just never been a problem. And that's with both companies. So it's a nice little safety thing that they do. I mean, but that's about it. I mean, that's just it there. So I have a group of drivers, that bring me my food. They don't steal my food or anything like that. And my Uber drivers get me to my long-distance appointments.
Yeah, well, it's like the DoorDash driver. My daughter, she doesn't cook on Tuesdays. I'm trying to get out the door to go to bowling. DoorDash driver pulls up in the middle of the street across my approach. And he gets out of the car and he says something to me, and I says, well, you better move your car. I need to get the hell out of here. And, oh, God, did it reek like marijuana. I'm like, man, don't ever come back to this address. I don't want my house stinking like that crap. What's your problem, bud? You're not supposed to be smoking it in your car, dumbass. But, they think, yeah, as long as the cops don't catch them, it's good, it's legal. And I just can't stand the smell of that stuff.
I had a problem with that same, I wouldn't say it was the same drive, but I smelled it and I reported it to the DoorDash, and they appreciated it and said, okay, we'll handle it from here. Thank you very much. And, he wasn't on my list or anything at the time, because that was part of the reason why I built a list of drivers from both companies. You can report them. All you got to do is, when I get back up to my apartment, I'm still in the app, and I just go in there and there's a keystroke, button stroke, whatever you want to call it, then you just report it, that's all. And all the information's there ahead of time about the driver, so they just look it up and they say, okay, we'll take care of it from here. And, then they get back to me, and then they'll send me an email stating that driver's no longer employed, through Uber or DoorDash. So there's, like I said, I understand that, everybody has bad experiences, and I've had them, but there are ways to nip it in the bud, so to speak, and it is anonymous, so, they won't know that I called on them or anything like that. It's, you as a rider or you as a user of the thing are protected quite well.
Yeah, well, the daughter would have had to report them because I don't even have the app on my phone. And like I said, I was running late to get out the door to get to the bowling alley, so I wasn't about to turn around or anything else like that. I just told the guy, I said, you shouldn't be doing that while you're driving, especially for DoorDash. Because, it reeked. He just blew a fatty. So, whatever. Yeah, if I were doing it, I would report him because I don't think it's right. But there again, I'm not holier than thou. I've got my problems. I don't even like cigarette smoke, smell of cigarette smoke anymore. But there's nothing I could do about that. And I had one that his daughter brought the bag in, and it just smelled like somebody smoked a pack of cigarettes. But what are you going to do, right?
W8RCY. I'm 100% in agreement with you, but even if you have to, if the driver's using it inside of his vehicle, I mean, it's for his personal enjoyment, it's no different than having a beer or some form of open intox. And you're on your way to the bowling alley and you two cross paths, and next he slams into you, and
oh, well, man, I didn't see you, dude. Sorry. You know, and it's like, but, yeah, it's in those kind of situations, it's never, you're going to be the victim. You're not going to be you're going to be the innocent victim in the wrong place at the wrong time when those kind of drivers are out there. And I do agree with you 100%. And, thinking back, like I said, I think that's the only one I've ever reported. I kind of wrote a bad report about a driver for Uber when I was on my way to the dentist. And I really didn't look at his score, but I was already running late for the dentist, and I just had to get there. I walked in with like 2 minutes to spare. But it was just, oh, my God, he wouldn't shut up talking about his problems in the world. You know, he's much older than me. I mean, he's just too old to be doing it. And all the way there, all I did was hear his problems, you know, wife, kids, grandkids. And it's like, are we there yet? Kind of a thing. Anyhow, I will let you finish up your evening. I heard you out there, so I just thought I'd pop in because I haven't talked to you in a while. And that's about it on this end. So you have a good evening. Catch up with you later. W8RCY.
All right, Don. Always great to catch up with you. I'm in the driveway as we speak, so I'm going to go in. I'm going to kiss my wife, and I think I'm going to go sit in my easy chair and take a nap. It's been a long day. 73's W8BPD.
Connected to CMN Network.
KFA-FQN, listening. KFA-FQN, listening. KFA-FQN, listening.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KFA-FQN, listening.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
KF8FQW, monitoring.
Thank you. connected to CMN Network.